All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. Hopefully you guys are all enjoying some sunshine and some crisp temperatures on a beautiful Tuesday in the big city. You grunting and you like
this? Not grunting.
It's good, right?
I love it. I was actually, when I was walking to get lunch from the car to the inside,
yep,
and you could feel the crispness of the air. And I just was like, this is the best. Thank you, Mother Nature, for correcting what the issues you've caused with those 80-degree temperatures in the middle of December, you dumb jerk.
Well, and I guess Lisa's been here too long because she had a doctor's appointment today. And so she's like, babe, can you just put the baby in the car for me? I go, yeah, absolutely. And I go, but not like this. She goes, what are you talking about? And the baby was just like in a onesie. I go, it's freezing cold out there. So I'm like, I'm the concerned dad putting like a beanie on her and putting a blanket over her. I was like, woman, what are you doing? She's like, it's the sunshine. I go, babe, it's like 38 degrees outside.
I got we have the Google Home Assist or whatever. You know, it's kind of like the Alexa or whatever. But I do every morning before I get dressed, especially in the winter because you don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the summer, you know, it's hot. It's hot as hell.
Yep.
Plan accordingly. But nowadays, you don't know. It could be 80. It could be 50. It could be, you know, 40. So I'm just, hey, Google, what's the temperature like outside? And it tells me right away. It'll say what it is and what it's going to be. And
they still use that phrase, what it is?
Huh?
They say what it is?
What do you
say? When
about?
You say, hey, Google, they say what it is?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Seeing if that was like a greeting. You know that you can pay Samuel, or you pay a dollar and Samuel L. Jackson becomes your Siri.
Alexa.
Or your Alexa or whoever.
Really?
It is. Yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
And they said you can do the PG.
It's 30 mother.
Yeah, well, they said
outside.
You can do the PG version.
I'm tired.
Or he will do the version where
really?
He does cuss at you.
I'm tired of this mother humidity on these mother. Yeah,
it's like
that would
an
be
app.
Great.
It's a buck, and I don't know if you have to pay extra for the cussing or not.
Oh, I would totally do that.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be outstanding.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I'm loving this. This is great.
Nick, you're okay with it? I mean, because, you know, you're anti-cold.
Yeah, it's not that bad. I you know, when you, from an overall perspective, it's been more warm and nice than it has been cold, so I'm not mad. I mean, I'm assuming we're going to get a few more days of cold weather in December, and then next month, and that's about it. It feels like it's not going to be cold for long.
The people that I've talked to that want to bitch about the weather, their biggest bitch is the fact that it goes from 70 to 35 or 38 to 70 again. And I get that because that's how people get sick. But, I mean, if it was like, I think for the next 5 or 6 days, it's supposed to be like highs in the 50s, lows in the high 30s, low 40s. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be this time of year.
Yeah, I like it.
Especially around Christmas, so I think that's all right.
You got all your Christmas shopping done?
All I know is Amazon boxes keep showing up every day for Taylor. That's basically, we just said it's for Taylor this year. So yeah, for the most part, it's all.
So you're not going to get the missus anything?
We talked about it. And basically after what happened this morning, probably not. Because since it was cold outside, in case you guys didn't know, and Nick was an absolute godsend today, I got in my car to take Taylor to school and it was fine when I pulled it in the garage. And when I went to pull out, the engine light was on. And it said track off, and all these lights were flashing all over. And I'm calling the dealership, and I'm trying to figure out on Google what's going wrong and everything like that. And they go, oh, yeah, you just have to bring it in. There's nothing we can do. And on Google, it said you could reset it. And so Nick's the car expert, and Nick's, like, going through this stuff with me, too. Bottom line is I get it to the dealership, and they call me about an hour later, and they go, yeah, it looks like a rodent was trying to stay warm, got up in your car, and chewed through a bunch of wires.
Oh.
It's like, oh, so just got to replace the wires, right? And they go, no, we got to take it apart, put it back together, clean the parts. They just do all that so they can just drill you with a bill. But Nick actually said that he thought that it was reasonable, the price that
what
I got.
What is reasonable?
$495.
Reasonable? For wiring and electronic stuff and the fact that most probably the rodent was somewhere in your dash, right? I'm assuming.
No, they said it was basically. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Because to get to that dead rodent, it probably took, a minute. It's not going to be.
You think
like,
the rodent was still there? I'm going to ask him.
It's possible. But if you didn't have a smell, no. If you
yeah, there was no smell. Nick said that when his dad had his shop, he'd have doubled that. That's he'd charge yeah, well, him a grand.
Because we'd have people that the rodents would just get stuck in the dash and they'd die in the dash.
Ugh.
And it would just have this god awful smell and people would just they cannot get over that horrid smell, so they just at that point they're kind of desperate. Please just take this dead animal out of my car. So
it would
be expensive.
It's funny that you make fun of me, both of you, where I live and all the animals at the farm and cut and shoot. But yet, who's the one with rats in their car?
It was probably a possum, not a damn coyote.
Yeah, I saw a possum on my fence. Lisa and I were both watching it this weekend. And Lisa thought the damn thing was so cute.
Oh, no, they are not cute.
That is something that is going to tease my dogs.
They're mean.
I don't. Just would like, for the record, to point out, I don't have rats and possum issues.
How do you know it's a rat? No, you got feral hogs and the size cats. Of Trey that are ripping up your lawn. That's what you got.
That'd be great if hogs could talk. He'd be like, sorry about this.
It's great. On the news now, too. That
oh, yeah.
But they're
you know, it's funny. That
they're not calling
I feel
them
like
feral hogs. They were calling them like, they made it sound much more devastatingly ferocious
on the news.
I feel
like the news just listens to our show because you mentioned they did Get Upside on Channel 2, feral hogs. It's like, come on, guys. Just everybody just listen to the show. You don't have to watch the news. We got you. We're ahead of the curve here. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it does seem that way in a lot of ways, that a lot of stuff we talk to makes it to the air and or makes it a day or two after we talk about it.
That's right.
Small confession. I almost left your ass at the house, by the way.
Why?
I was like, I'm on my way to come pick you up. And then I went on 59 and just started headed to the gallery.
You almost forgot?
I went down four exits.
Short-term memory loss.
Went down four exits, and I was like,
really?
Oh, my God. I left Joel.
That wouldn't have been good.
House. That would have been.
I mean, it depends on who you ask.
That's been true. 10 minutes.
It's true.
Would have been pretty good for me.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Take us a break. I was going to say, you're normally trying to get rid of Barry. Now you're just going to not pick me up.
Yeah.
That would have been real nice.
But you didn't even realize I was 10 minutes late, and I was like, he didn't even realize that I was.
Beggars can't be choosers. I'm getting a ride to work.
That's right.
I'm not going to be bitching about
that. Ain't going to
say nothing.
Y'all could have got here at 12:45 and you'd been like, okay.
Yeah, right? It's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, and I even got him his caramel.
Okay, good.
Triple ribbon crunch.
It was like a date. You bought him drinks and everything.
It's so funny when I pulled up to the drive-thru. I was like, I'm going to get that drink. And by the time I went to the speaker, I forgot what the name of it was.
So nice. He asks the lady at Starbucks. First of all, he looks at me and goes, is it caramel or caramel? I go, to me, it's caramel. That's it. But you can call it caramel. And then he gets to the window and goes, I want that the caramel and the crunch. And what do you get? She goes, oh, you mean the caramel ribbon crunch?
She didn't say
frappuccino?
It like that. She didn't say it like that.
Oh, yes, she did. And then I ordered mine real quick. And we get to the and then Nick goes, yeah, yours is way more foo-foo than mine. I go, are you serious? With crunch? And a ribbon in it, and we get to
amazing.
It. She goes, oh, yeah, yours is not only more foo-foo, but it's really a lot harder to make. I go, you see that, Nick? And then she brings it to him. It looked like an ice cream sundae. It had like a mound of whipped cream and dripped caramel all over it and everything
Both
like that.
Both of you ought to have to turn in your man card.
I'm drinking straight
you
shots
loved this drink.
In water.
You
would have loved the drink.
What's wrong with just a good old-fashioned coffee?
Well, what's wrong with getting up before freaking 7:30 in the morning and staying up the whole morning?
Oh, Did you think that that's not what happened today?
Well, maybe one day out of the month.
You don't know my life.
Oh, yes, we do.
You don't know my schedule.
Yes, we do.
Look, if I don't go to bed until 4 in the morning.
What is it? 5 a.m.? Hi, Nora. Hi, babe. Thanks for the coffee.
Nope.
11 a.m. I was up to work.
I've been up since 6 a.m. and then go back to sleep. The night before, went to bed at 4:30 a.m. So, yeah, you bet your ass I slept. But I just wake up and drink a man's coffee and then keep it moving. So
keep it moving right back to bed is what you
nope.
do.
Nope. I got a lot of stuff done today. How's your fantasy team, dude, Joel? And the champion? Oh, that's right.
Go ahead, Juan. Take it from there. Why don't you go ahead and drill me with that one?
I really want to know what he did.
He won.
I texted y'all. You won?
Nick won and
Damn
you
it.
Won.
I really was hoping you would lose because
I saw
won.
The tweet. I didn't respond on purpose. I thought I'd mess with you a little bit. But no, I won. I won definitively.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't even close?
So both of you boys are
Lucky
in the championship.
You. Yeah.
258 to 193.
I tell
God,
you what.
You sure did.
Had Nick not told me that it was a 2 week
thing,
I would have not. And then after that, we've already discussed the fact that I benched Lamar Jackson and his 37 points and started Deshaun Watson and got 17. So just left 20 points on the bench. I won by two. Old boy needed 61 points going into last night. He had Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. He needed 61 points. He got 59.
Dang,
I felt bad for him in a way. But then I was like, no, I'm after.
And you know what won you the title? Julio Jones at the goal line.
Yeah, Julio Jones at the goal line
with review.
And let's be real, the fact that they jumped out to such a big lead that he didn't need to play essentially for half of the fourth quarter did it. Because they weren't gonna pass, and he wasn't gonna play. So Michael Thomas wasn't getting another catch, and Drew Brees wasn't throwing another pass. Because if either one of those happened, I lose.
Yeah.
Like it just skin of my teeth. But I left 20 points on the bench, so that won't happen again. Although I was looking at next week or this week's matchup, I'm like, who do I start?
See, I don't like that. I like the two-week championships. Those are cool.
Uh-huh.
I don't like the fact that the whole reason why everything was pushed back in fantasy football was so you avoided weeks 17 and 18 when teams have things wrapped up 16, and their best 17. Player or whatever, the last 18. 2 weeks of the season, so that the guys that are supposed to play aren't playing and they're resting guys.
I'm with you on
that. It hurts fantasy football teams, right?
I think it should have been it should be over by week 16.
I agree.
But not now. But I'm not going to complain. I'm in the championship.
Both you are. That's great.
Yeah. And so I told Nick if I win, I owe him half of the gift card because he's the one that let me know.
I mean, I was shocked at myself, so I'm not going to act. I had more points than
we both were absolutely stunned.
Listen.
He's like, I'm in the championship. What?
Of what?
And they didn't give me the W, and I saw the star by his name. I'm like, why is there a star by this fool's name? I know I won this. And then I realized there's still another week left to play.
Yeah, that was the kicker.
Boy, I'm glad. I'm seriously glad you told me. So
it worked out. Worked
yes,
out.
It did.
So
crazy.
Gonna get some free fajitas now.
Is that what the gift card is?
I think it's a choice between. You know what? I'm not going to misspeak. We'll just find out. Let me confirm, and then I'll get back.
Well, don't count your gift card before it's hatched, because you still have to win this week.
Right? I am kind of speaking too soon.
Next 2 weeks.
That's right. Next 2 weeks. So you're not out of the woods yet, sir.
No.
Yeah, neither of us are.
Speaking of getting out of the woods, by the way, if you get out of the woods and you find out you've got a hole in your roof or you are thinking about putting a new roof on your house, I got a place you can go to. It's Fitz Roofing. It's the only place that I would speak about because they're locally owned and operated, and they take care of the people of Houston. Whether you need to replace an entire roof on your house or you just have a leaky roof and you need to fix it, they're the people to call. Quite simply because they have the ratings to back it up. They got an A+ rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor, and we take it a step further. They use the product that's going to last, CertainTeed Shingles, and they do such a good job using that product that they have gotten an elite status that hardly any other roofers in the entire United States have, and it's called the CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Companies. They are 1% of the roofers in the United States that meet the criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Their base warranty is longer and better than your average roofer. And they just continue to make sure you're happy because they want to service the people of Houston in a great way. Check them out. FITZRoofing.com. That's FitzRoofing.com. Or you can just call them 832-521-3001. And if you call them, you can set up a free, no obligation inspection. They come to you, tell you what they can do, and then they go back about their day. If you want them to come back, just reach back out. They will come out to your place, do fantastic work, and make sure you're absolutely satisfied. 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference, one home at a time.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Tuesday in the big city. I know. We know what tomorrow is. We'll work it out. Tomorrow's a way back Wednesday, and it just sometimes gets to be a bit much. So just in case you guys are not up to speed, because we had a lot to get through in that first segment, 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call that number, text that number. And then, of course, reach us on Twitter at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. I think we were all pretty active on Twitter last night. I saw everybody kind of drop.
I was behind. I didn't get to like live tweet the games or anything. But yeah, I was trying to stay busy. But it was a weird night for sports. Right? Like I felt like the New Orleans game was it couldn't have been less compelling, but more interesting.
Hey, absolutely right. I was just going to say the right? same thing. For a game that was completely decided early, you couldn't turn it off because it was one thing for him with the touchdown record.
And then the completion percentage.
So then he gets the completion percentage. Then the other one that people didn't realize was that he has 22, I believe, straight completions too, and it carries over. So next game, if he completes his first four passes without an incomplete pass, he then breaks the record for most completions in a row without an incomplete pass.
You know, you watch some of the throws he makes, and it's just unbelievable.
It really is.
He is so gifted.
Here's the other thing, people, and again, because TV gives you kind of such a skewed perspective on what you're watching, right? Now, I've had the opportunity a couple times to stand next to him. He's a short guy.
Yeah.
And then I've had a couple opportunities to be like on the sidelines when he's throwing. Do you realize a lot of the throws he makes? He's not looking through the viewing area of his helmet face mask. He's looking underneath the lower bar. His head is tilted up because he's got to see over the line and see where he's throwing. And yet he still does what you were talking about, throwing everything on a laser beam. The ball at the goal line, he had to put that on the back shoulder away from the secondary so that the receiver wouldn't take a big hit and or the ball would get dislodged. I mean, he's a genius behind center.
Booger McFarland kept saying how he's the most accurate quarterback in NFL history. And I would have never guessed that, but I was, for some reason, really paying attention last night, and you could totally see that. Like, it's just unbelievable. And, of course, it was a night where he went 29 of 30, so... Mm-hmm. But yeah, he is a once in a generation talent. He just happens to be playing in an era where there are several other once in a generation talents playing at the same time. But I always feel like he doesn't get the credit he deserves, maybe because he plays with Brady and Rodgers, and he's been in the era of some of these greats, Manning and Drew Brees is always mentioned, but I always feel like he gets bumped to the bottom.
I would agree with
of
that.
The
he doesn't
elite
get the
tier.
Credit he fully deserves.
I still say Tom Brady, greatest quarterback to ever play the game.
Now, why is that? Just because of the wins?
Everything. Just everything. I mean, when you
because I don't think
when you look at his production, you look
Brady
at the Super
you
Bowls,
about...
you look at the leadership, you look at the fact that other than the Randy Moss years, he didn't have anybody to throw to until he got Gronk. I mean, he's done more with less. And when I say more with less, I mean way
accomplishments
more.
And championships, Tom Brady. But when you're talking about that pinpoint accuracy, when you're talking about those kind of things, I wouldn't put him in that category. But again, you can't argue with the fact that he's going to go down with the championships and the wins and, you know, the successive, the dynasty of the Patriots. And then he'll play long enough, his longevity with his yardage.
But you forget about
like
the 28-3 comebacks in the Super Bowls and all those other things that we talk about. I mean, it's easy because he's having a bad year to kind of not remember what makes Tom Brady so great. But I just feel like when in the case of Drew Brees, we always start with Brady, and then we can find three or four other people to mention before we mention Drew Brees. And I think sometimes that's a disservice to him because he's passing everybody we want to put in front of him.
Well, before all is said and done, too, he's going to have pretty much across the board any record he wants, although it's going to be interesting because, you know, when they're crossing names off the list, it's normally guys that are done playing, and Brady's only two or three touchdowns behind him.
Yeah.
So, you know, those two guys are going to keep adding to their numbers, and so that's going to be kind of fun to watch. But, I mean, he does deserve to be mentioned. And here's the thing that you forget about was the fact what last year, if they don't get screwed, last 2 years, the Minnesota Miracle.
Yeah, he should have a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he at least would have been there, right?
Yep.
Last year with the pass interference call, he at least would have been there. Now you're talking about a guy, because everybody throws Montana in that mix. Now, Montana's numbers weren't huge. But Montana just won, and he was undefeated when he got to a Super Bowl. But if you give Drew Brees three Super Bowl appearances and more than one win, now you really got to put him up there. But statistically alone, he has to be in the discussion.
Yeah, I feel like it. But I think we need to start mentioning him sooner in the conversation of elite quarterbacks now and in the future.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, and New Orleans is a team that made a statement again last night. Not that Indy was, they were hanging on by a thread, but from the standpoint of just looking at the Saints overall, that's a team that needed to get right because people who all season long had thought they were the best team in the NFC had kind of jumped off the bandwagon and started saying, no, it's the Niners as the best team in the NFC. And now, for all intents and purposes, the two teams that people are talking about in the NFC are the Saints and the Niners. and then everybody else, including Seattle, who just lost Gordon, and you don't know what they're going to be in Green Bay, who I've even said is the worst 11-3 team in the NFL.
Yeah, four 11-3 teams. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yep. You talk about top heavy.
Yeah.
But I had said, look, home field is so important in the NFC because of the fact that any one of those four teams can get hot and represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. So home field is huge, especially when you want them to come to the Dome or you want them to come to Lambeau where it's freezing or you want them to come to Seattle with the 12th man in the rain or San Francisco. Every team is going to be vying for in these last 2 weeks, and that's why it's so important. That's why it's good that we're talking about fantasy football reasons, teams holding guys back, taking time off. These teams are all going to be going for it.
Yeah, it ain't happening. And every team has a easy game and a hard game left. Mm-hmm. Packers have the Vikings. That's their hard game. They have the Lions. That's the easy game. Saints have the Titans. That's probably their hard game, obviously. And the Panthers is their easy game. Seahawks have the Cardinals as their easy game, and the Niners is their hard game, and the Niners obviously have the Seahawks, and then the Rams is their easy game, and the Rams aren't. It's not an easy game,
but when you're out of it,
So I mean, that's going to make it really interesting, and like you said, it's really going to make it to where you have to really pay attention, and you have to be, you know, both all of these teams have something to play for. So
for sure,
and if you want something to play for, boy, do I have it for you. MyBookie.ag is something you could play for. Guys, Christmas is coming quick, and as we're getting closer to the 25th, the folks at MyBookie, they want to make your season special. They're doing these 12 days of gifts, and right now, 12 days of risk-free gifts from MyBookie. From the 14th through the 25th, you get stuff like a free play. You get a free parlay, on UFC. You get free bets, free spins, futures, tons of stuff going on, and with the NFL and the NBA and the NHL, all in full swing. Plus, you got the bowl game starting up. Don't forget that as well. Those are right around the corner. It is the perfect time of year to start your sports betting. If you're like, hey, I want to get in on this, I think I'm going to try it, absolutely go do that right now. Go to mybookie.ag, log on. I tell you all the time, they got the parlays, the teasers, the specials, anything you could ever ask for, it's right there at MyBookie. And the important thing is they pay you. When you want to get your money out, they're going to pay you. No questions asked. A lot of these other places gives you the runaround. Not MyBookie. So head over there now. Go to MyBookie.ag. And then when you sign up, use promo code RADIO. You're going to get half off your initial deposit and free wagers. And that's just the start. That's just the beginning of the savings. Put it on your daily calendar. Go check MyBookie.ag every single day between now and the 25th. There's something new every day. You're going to want to take advantage of the deals. I promise you it's a lot of fun. Go get started right now. Sign up. Go to mybookie.ag. Put in that promo code RADIO. Start your winning today, because it's MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
And now, a message from Vistaprint.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Tuesday in the big city, talking about the football game to kick things off. See what I did there? Key notes and things. One thing I will say, fellas, that I took away from that game, not only because from a fantasy football perspective, it just continued to illustrate what a complete kick in the grapes I did to myself by taking Alvin Kamara instead of Christian McCaffrey with the number two overall pick. But if you're the Saints, as good as you're playing, you got to start worrying about the fact that the Belichick theory says in the playoffs, teams are going to try and take away what you do best and make you do other things. Alvin Kamara better step up and start playing a little bit. Now, he showed signs last night of the burst coming back and him looking like his old self. But I don't think people really valued enough Mark Ingram as that complimentary back to Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, pretty significant drop-off from Mark Ingram to Latavius Murray.
Indeed.
I'm with you in the fact that he needs to get it figured out sooner rather than later, especially going into the playoffs. It's going to be really hard for anybody to stop Drew Brees and Michael Thomas, though.
It is and it isn't, because
and
of the fact
guys
that
like Cook and Taysom Hill stepping up. And
those are the guys that are going to be really key then, because look, you look at the other three teams in the NFC, you've got Williams and Jones in Green Bay. You've got in Seattle, you had Penny and Kaysen, but you got one injured, but you still got a stud back that's a power back that's going to get you yards in no matter what the weather is. You got three backs in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to establish a running game that you can go to in New Orleans regardless, because most teams, when you get to this level, are going to have at least one corner that's going to try. And you can't. You're right. You can hope to contain him. You can't stop Michael Thomas. But at the same time, we talked about yesterday, when I ask you who the other Saints receivers are, you can't name them unless you're Clarence.
Well, Jared Cook.
Well, except for tight end. I'm talking about receivers.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty true.
Yeah.
I mean, Ted Ginn Jr. isn't a guy. You expect more out of him, but he's not a guy that's been doing a whole lot.
Kind of seen his day, still doing it okay. Yeah. But, yeah, you're right.
Excuse me. What's crazy is you target Michael Thomas 12 times, 12 catches. Yeah, well, you target Jared Cook 4 times, 4 catches. That's going to be the problem. That's going to be the part that's it's just like
it's easy to say that when he's on a night where he had one incomplete pass.
But it's just like with DeAndre Hopkins. If you want to get him the ball, he's going to make his catches, whether they double team him or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of, do you make that read or do you exploit one-on-one coverage with somebody else? With the Saints, that somebody else is Jared Cook usually. So if Michael Thomas is doubled, he's proven that he can still get the ball in traffic.
Do you see his numbers? He's way past 100 catches already.
Oh, yeah.
It's just ridiculous. Last year he had the record, I think. He's going to blow that record away.
What, for catches in a season?
Yeah.
No, he's going to pass.
Marvin Harrison has the all-time record, but he's going to flirt with that.
He's going to pass Brown and Julio Jones for the second most in a season.
Is he going to catch Marvin Harrison?
He just needs 11 more catches.
To catch Marvin Harrison?
No, to catch Antonio Brown and Julio for the second most.
So he needs 11 there.
I think it was 144?
143 in 2002.
143?
Yeah.
Okay.
For Harrison, 143. What's he at right now?
I don't have that in front of me, honestly. I think he's
who, Michael Thomas?
Yeah.
133.
He has 133.
Yeah.
So it's within range.
Well, he caught 12 last night.
Yeah, I know.
He needs to get 6 a game to break it.
I think he'll do it. So that's
very reasonable.
In a single season. Oh, yeah, he does have 2 more.
And as much as the Saints love putting these records up, I mean, let's face it. There was a reason Drew Brees was in the game longer than he should have been. This game was over early. They're trying to get that completion percentage record. Most teams are going to do that.
Sure.
You know, but it's Drew Brees, and it's that time of his career, and he's earned the right to do that. They're going to give Michael Thomas that single season.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's just like Harden doing the same thing, or Russell Westbrook with triple doubles, or whatever the case may be. If they know there's a record to be had, it's not egregiously staying in the game too long, they're going to make sure they get those records.
Yeah.
And I think that the interesting thing was, which was great, was he said, and he said his press conference, and he elaborated to some extent to say, I'm not going to forget the one that was incomplete. And I'm going to think at the time at the press conference, he goes, if I just changed my arm angle a little bit, planted my feet, if I would have just pushed through that, I'd have made that completion. And he goes, that's going to bother me for a while. And that's someone, Reggie Bush posted the video.
I was about to say, you know, normally if you hear someone say that, I roll my eyes and go, okay, you're just hamming it up for the camera. But that is not the case.
Reggie Bush, I think it was Instagram or Twitter, put it out, maybe on both. He put it out there and said, this is why I would play with this guy anytime. And he went into a great deal about the fact he showed Drew Brees after practice, no one else in the building.
2.5 minutes.
He was out there on the field working on his craft, working on his footwork, working on the way he did things.
He was mentally going through the game.
All by himself. No one else around on the field or in the building close to him.
Let me tell you, it was crazy to watch it because he would basically, in his mind, you could see him replaying the game or playing the game. So he would get in a huddle, and then he's by himself. But he would be in the huddle. He would point to guys. He would call the play. They would clap, break. He would walk to an invisible line or shotgun behind an invisible center, take the snap, make his reads, progressions.
The big was he was going to progressions. And
if he didn't throw it technically, right, you could see him stop, and he was working on what he was fixing, something that he wasn't doing right at that particular moment. It was the most amazing thing. And Reggie Bush was talking about the fact that this is what greatness is.
Yeah, and the other thing is, it's like, take Dak Prescott's pregame routine with the hips, but he was doing it while doing his progressions, while imagining where he was going to throw the ball. And then he would go back, as Barry said, but he would go back and repetitively go, you could see going, no, my hips need to be more. He was perfecting his craft, and that's
badass.
What makes him so good and so easy to like and easy to root for. And I'll say this too, the other thing that I think was really important in all of what we were talking about with the Saints is, the unsung heroes that aren't getting enough credit, whether they run the ball or not, and what Drew Brees is able to do, that offensive line is playing their asses off.
Yeah, they are.
For New Orleans. Because whatever they did running the ball when they needed to, they could run the football. But Drew Brees had all the time in the world last night to do what he needed to do, to find his receivers, to not pick his butt off the ground. And those guys are playing good football. They don't get enough credit because of all the stars that we're talking about, records and things like that.
It's a complete football team over there, man.
It really is.
Defensively.
Now, their defensive line took a hit. And the other interesting thing is we had it pegged. Mm-hmm. They just didn't get to it. New Orleans did file a claim for Suggs, but they weren't high enough up to be able to get him. Four teams, including San Francisco and New Orleans and Seattle, I think, all three placed claims on Suggs as well as the Chiefs.
Texans not? Because they have the worst record of all those teams.
That's a good point. I don't know.
Texans could have had the opportunity to have Suggs on their roster and don't do it. That doesn't make any sense to me. I know you're counting on, you know, maybe J.J. Watt coming back and you're going to rest on that. And
you can't.
You're okay with
that.
The fact that your sack leader has 5.5 and J.J. Watt, who hasn't played all year, is second on the team still with 4. Makes no sense that you don't go out and get that guy.
And
none at all, but
the Saints got Janoris Jenkins. So what does that tell you? They're in go for it now mode. Bill O'Brien has his idea of what go for it means. From a Texans perspective, I know what they've done and tried to improve their secondary, but you don't think Janoris Jenkins would have made your secondary better just for the rest of this year?
Yeah, he would have.
Yeah.
Boy, how bad did Jacoby Brissett look last night, too?
Yeah, he's a hot and cold kind of guy.
So awful. He was so wild and inaccurate. I was just like, man, this dude's not even close. He wasn't in the neighborhood on most of his throws.
Yeah, some of them were really out there.
And then later in the game, they're talking about how Frank Reich is like, that's my guy. I don't know if I would hitch my wagon to a dude that's that wild and inaccurate in a game that really doesn't matter other than the fact that it was Monday Night Football. Colts are out of it. You're just going out. Just go out there and play, man. Just go out there and let loose and have some fun. It was a bad look. I was like, boy, they might be in trouble if that's their quarterback of the future.
The thing is, Chris Ballard, their GM, has done so many good things, right?
Yeah.
He's really solidified the offensive line. He's built up a good defensive line. Running back, they're young, but they got some talent there. Receiver, you still got T.Y. Hilton, you got some guys. But if you don't have a guy, and we know, on a consistent basis that's delivering the football and making decisions, then you're never going to get to where you want your franchise to go. He's going to have a tough decision in the offseason because they gave him good money.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be the guy that's going to take the franchise just right from luck and keep it on the same level. And I just don't know if he can do that.
He was 18 of 34. That is not good. I'm curious. I'm looking up right now. Where was he in as far as QB rating?
Yeah.
16th in the NFL. Hit a 90.9 QB rating. Worse than Gardner Minshew. Worse than Carson Wentz. Worse than Derek Carr.
Now, don't you feel that some of that is, like you said, they're out of it, so they're kind of going through the motions a little bit?
Yeah, but you could still hit open guys.
I mean, they
weren't even close.
Their best tight end on IR, their best running backs on IR. So, I mean, they basically, for all intents and purposes, said, you know, this season's over.
But these were not, he wasn't trying to thread the needle with these throws. These were wide open dudes in the flat that he would airmail or throw at their feet, or it was bad. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I'd be nervous if that was my quarterback of the future.
I think I would be too.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a little football for you, but we got plenty more to get to. We got the Rockets game to break down from last night and all the different things that happened both on the court and right off the court, because there was some interesting stuff going on there, as well as lots of other things. If you got something on your mind you want to get off your chest and get in here on the conversation, HR&P listener line 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number. Of course, you can hit us on Twitter. We are the Usual Suspects. Back with more on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Back on the first hour of the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, three-hour show, so plenty of time left to discuss lots of different things. We already went into some detail on Monday Night Football last night. Bad game, compelling storyline, Drew Brees and the Saints.
Speaking of
at
bad.
The same time, I was flipping back and forth. Nick, you were at the Rockets game. I don't know what you were doing, Barry. I know you're watching the football game with the fantasy football and everything, but I was going back and forth. Boy, I'll tell you what, similar to the football game, At the end of the first half, I was ready to turn that damn thing off.
So I recorded it and then just watched the whole thing from the jump. Actually, not from the jump. I missed the didn't Harden get into it with somebody early in the game?
Murray. Yeah. I just retweeted.
Like early, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I missed that. I think I got I started watching when it was like 25-20 or something like that.
Okay.
But I watched it after the football game. I watched the whole football game and then the whole Rocket game.
Well, I'll tell you this. When I was watching the first half and they were down by as many as 25, and I happened to glance at midcourt and see Tillman sitting there, I'm not going to lie. I had some flashbacks to the night that the Rockets were beating the Celtics by 20 in the first half, lost by 20 in the second half, and watched Kevin McHale get fired after the game. I was like, look, I don't think D'Antoni's going to survive the rest of this season if this team lays an egg like this with as inconsistent as they've been playing. Now, lucky for all involved that they came back and won the game. But Harden just, thankfully, he found a different gear. He found it. He looked gassed. He looked tired. He looked out of it the entire first half. And, Nick, you were there. You can tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, a part of it was just him not hitting shots. He was 0 for 8. His first 8 shots, he was 0 for 8 in the first quarter, so nothing was falling for the Rockets at all.
He didn't look like he had any lifter legs. And then, like you said, once he was missing shots, he looked like, I'm done. He looked kind of like he was mailing it in. And that's, quite honestly, one of the issues they have to overcome. I mean, Russ could do that. He doesn't do that very often. James is a guy, and Barry, it goes back to what you were saying a year or so ago, where when you don't get a call or you don't get a certain play to go your way, you can't quit and give up on your team getting back on defense.
Boy, there was a lot of that last night.
You got to play both ends. And there's an obvious reason when the Spurs score, 80 points in the first half? Don't tell me that doesn't come back to your defense.
Yeah, it was all defense. Their defense was atrocious, and their shots weren't falling. It was a very abysmal first half all the way around.
Yeah, it was awful, and it was hard to watch. So it was one of those situations where, like, look, you're either going to get your crap together in the second half, and you're going to find whatever it is that's ailing you and fix it, or your coach's ass is going to be on the hot seat, and there's going to be a whole bunch of dialogue about what's wrong with the Rockets, and can they fix it and find it on a big picture scale as they go down, you know, the road of the rest of the NBA to be in the same breath as contenders.
Well, if you thought that, at least you didn't tweet it out like Lance Erline, because he tweeted it out.
What did he tweet?
Same thing.
What?
About D'Antoni.
Oh, did he really?
Let go.
Wasn't on Twitter last night. I might have checked in
Joel's
late.
Joel's been on that hot seat, D'Antoni.
No, but yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, because it when they turn it around and win, then you're like, mm.
Yeah,
he's not on solid ground. I'm just going to let you know.
I mean, okay, so what about this stat? This is they set the franchise record for overcoming the biggest deficit that they've ever had. Is that a good stat or a bad stat for the Houston Rockets? And let me just add this. The last time they had a deficit this big was 23 points in 1977. So I don't know if you look at that as a bad stat or not, because I don't know if you can continue to overcome 25-point deficits.
I look at it as a good stat.
Okay.
I'll tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll tell you why. One, their shots weren't falling. I mean, James obviously had an off night. And if not for Russell Westbrook, they really get blown out. But if the leading scorer in the NBA is having an off night, nobody's playing good defense for whatever reason, they weren't hustling, they were kind of lethargic. D'Antoni probably gave him an earful, but he also probably coached him up and probably told them, hey, look, if we play some defense, we can get back in this. We can know we can. 25 points is not insurmountable. And they came out. James started hitting shots. He started warming up at the end of the first half anyways. But then he comes out. He knocks down a couple big threes. McLemore had some big threes. Russ is out there hustling. I think this speaks volumes to the fact that this is a team, when you have certain players on this team, like James Harden, that sometimes are just going to quit. And they didn't quit. And that's why it's a good thing, is this team could have easily quit and lost this game and been like, well, we just had an off night shooting. But they didn't. They came out. They committed to defense. They hustled their ass off, and they won the game. And I think that's a good thing.
I mean, that's kind of why Russell Westbrook kept, you know, pounding his chest when he was asked about how they were able to come back, and he kept on referring to heart.
Yeah.
They said they didn't really have to do too much to know what they needed to do. And I think when you come back in the third quarter and outscore your team 31-17 in the third quarter, that was obviously the difference. That at least gave them life and make them feel like, you know what, we could win this game. And they may have had that, like, mentality in the halftime. But I think that was a really good positive. And I think another good positive was somebody we talked about yesterday, Ben McLemore. I think he's feeling more and more
comfortable.
I'm
telling you what, he's quickly becoming my favorite Rocket.
Yeah. I mean, if he continues to play efficiently, he's going to be a great addition to the roster. Yeah.
They dug their hole. That's why I don't think it was a positive. They dug the hole that they had to dig out of to get that record, and that worries me. And then the other thing that worries me is they did it against the team they're supposed to beat. And they did it against a team that made it very easy to come back in the second half. You're not going to have that same luxury if you play some of the better teams in the Western Conference. So those are the concerns that I have. And then when I look at the big picture, I just look at it and I think, is Eric Gordon a difference maker enough that when he comes back, this team is going to take it to another level to be on the same championship caliber as the Clippers and the Lakers and teams like that? And I just don't see it. You're right. McLemore, to me, now is starting to come around playing at a level that you need one of those complimentary players to be. But you need House to do the same thing, and he's not there. And Gerald Green ain't walking through that door with as inconsistent as his shot was. He was an energy guy. He was the guy that gave you a boost from a veteran when there were nights like last night that you needed him. The roster to me, and I know it's not done, and I know that Daryl always makes a move, so I'm going to hold out for that. But for all the people that think I'm glass half full and Mr. Rah-Rah team guy, last night gave me a lot of concern. Now, I don't think D'Antoni is going to face his fate right away because it's kind of, I compared him to Jason Garrett. If D'Antoni was going to get an extension, he should have got it before the start of the year. The way Tillman handled everything, he's a dead man walking. And the only way that he's going to get an extension is if this team gets to a Western Conference Finals with a chance at the finals or further. And I don't see it doing I don't see that happening right now. So I think they're very comparable in terms of their futures and what they have to do. I just don't think that he has enough on this roster right now to be able to do what's expected of him.
Let me go back a bit to your point about Green and House. I mean, McLemore is your Gerald Green. You don't need Daniel House to be your Gerald Green, because when you get Eric Gordon back, McLemore becomes that dead-eye shooter off the bench that you need.
Is he a dead-eye shooter? And do you know what he's going to give you?
I mean,
come
he's
playoffs
well, a dead-eye as much as Green would be. He's going to be the guy that you look to come in and be instant offense, knocking down threes when you have to go to the second team.
Okay. Then if that's the case, they're not a championship caliber team. And if that's who they're relying on, then in my opinion, they're not as good as I thought they could be this year. Because I don't think Ben Backlund, he's never been on that stage before. He's never shot the three ball consistently before, though he came out as supposedly the next Ray Allen. And I'm pleasantly surprised that after I said both those guys were really underachieving in the way they shot open shots, House has not come back around. McLemore has. But if McLemore's the guy you're relying on to knock down shots when you get into the playoffs, I think that's a huge issue. And I don't think he's going to shoot it the same way.
Okay. I mean, he's 35% for his career.
Okay. For the Sacramento Kings, in limited minutes, where he continued as a lottery pick to fall off to the point where they just gave up on him, I don't see it.
But if he has this stat line a lot more, then I would feel a lot more. My whole point about Ben is that he feels more comfortable. You can see him getting better. You see the progress, and you feel him. You look like he looks like he feels more comfortable on the floor. Is he going to be able to do that in the postseason, first year on the team? I'm not sure. But if he scores 17 points in 28 minutes, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, I don't know if he'll do that every game, but if he consistently does that or semi-consistently does that, I think it's going to be a great addition for the team. You also have to remember with the absence of Eric Gordon, they're putting guys like Gary Clark in the situation. He's not really ready for this.
Now, that's a guy I don't like.
And he needs more experience and development. So you got Clark essentially playing next to, I mean, not next to McLemore, but that's just not the depth you want right now. And I think Eric Gordon, from the way Mike D'Antoni was talking yesterday, I don't think he's back next week. I don't think he's back the following week. I'm not on the beat like these other guys,
well,
like Fagan.
He's been on the court pregame, getting his shots up, doing his work where they say he's getting closer.
He's saying week to week, and it just does not sound like it's happening next week. It just doesn't sound like that. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, maybe the Chronicle or somebody else has more information that I don't. But from the way Mike D'Antoni was speaking, Gordon doesn't seem like he's going to be back, so...
If you get the kind of production you're getting out of McLemore this month for the rest of the year, they're in good shape.
What do you mean good shape?
I mean the depth that he provides, if you get Eric Gordon back,
That's a team that's that has the depth to compete with the Clippers and the Lakers.
No, because we've been saying this for the whole year already that they're going to make a move, so they're going to get deeper. But if you can count on Ben McLemore to be a guy to knock down a three and fit into the offense, and another guy that James can trust and that Russ can trust, that's more than especially when you lost Green.
That's fine that you think that. I would respectfully disagree simply because we're just talking about Ben McLemore right now. We're not talking about the defense. We're not talking about all the different question marks of when you get into a playoffs and you shorten your rotation. Austin Rivers, where'd he go after a good year last year with them? Why isn't he contributing more? Why isn't he doing more? Those are the guys off the bench that you trust. And you know D'Antoni's a trust guy. If he doesn't trust you, he ain't going to play you. And the guys he's playing right now, you're counting on a guy that's never been to the playoffs before to knock down big threes, and he's starting to shoot them in the regular season. But I got concerns about a lot of that stuff. And the defense,
Gerald Green disappeared in the playoffs too.
And so, believe me, I'm not a honk for Gerald Green. I'm not blowing his horn like he's great. I just knew there were nights. We knew right away, if he made his first shot, you need to keep him on the court. If he missed his first shot, chances are he was coming off pretty quick. But at least there were nights he gave you that instant offense. I don't look at anybody on their bench and go, there's a guy that can fill it up for me. McLemore starting to show up. Look, you're right. If he keeps doing stats like that, I'd be more encouraged. I also saw the start of the year when he was completely lost. So I hope he continues.
I wouldn't necessarily count the start of the year on this team because you still had Russ and James trying to figure things out, and how does that fit with Eric Gordon and Capella and all these other, they're all trying to find their spot. And then you got a guy buried on the bench that now has to step up and fill a role because of injuries. So I feel like now he's finding where he fits and what his role is, and he's starting to flourish in that role.
You do know if he evolves enough to where he's that much of an asset to this team, that would be an absolute amazing amount of progress in one season. Yeah. And that's the reason. I just don't see it that. I think he play more consistently, but translating that to make them, like, being the difference in a championship team or not, I don't know.
I'm just saying depth. Not saying that Ben McLemore is the difference between the Rockets winning a championship or not. I'm just saying questioning their depth and saying that there's no replacement for Gerald Green. He is. I mean,
you keep going back to Gerald Green.
He shot 38% one year, 36% from three. I mean, he's shooting 35 right now. If he keeps playing the way he's playing right now, you can't tell me that the Rockets aren't deeper because of it.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, they're deeper. If he plays more consistently, I would think that's a fair statement. I just don't know if he's going to be the difference. And Eric Gordon's presence is without a doubt being missed right now. Mm-hmm.
And even when Eric Gordon's another guy that's got to find consistency, because before he went out, he wasn't
he wasn't good.
No, end of last year too. He just hasn't been what he was when he was six man and he was.
You think he's
making shots?
You think he's mad because
he can't be? He got his contract right.
Well.
He's got his contract, and he starts a lot.
Those guys
gets
still
his
want
minutes.
Their stats.
Well, I was going to say, there's a difference between disgruntled because you didn't get your contract and disgruntled because you're not getting the run in the minute. So we can continue to talk about it. That's hour number one of the show. Still got two to go, which means there's plenty of time to talk basketball, football, anything in between, anything you want to bring to the table. So just give us a shout, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Hour two around the corner. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.